A city is stronger together. So let's hear from the business and community leaders that keep Milwaukee on the upswing. Presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now here's the host that's always on the upswing, WTMJ's Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Welcome to the Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Thank you for taking time out of your day to spend it with us here. We're always incredibly thankful for the generous support of our good partners at Horicon Bank, the good community-minded people at Horicon Bank. We're in the throes of the holiday season, and you know, it sounds cliche to say it, but I'm going to say it anyway. A picture is worth a thousand words, and Milwaukee is full of new pictures, new developments, new stuff happening everywhere. Innovative photographers, you just take a look on social. They're everywhere, and they're leveraging their personalities. They're leveraging new technology. They're leveraging kind of the new moments that are coming out of our events to create really compelling content. So today, joining us will be Eric Halverson. Eric is one of these photographers who's really embedded himself into the Milwaukee scene. You may also know him as Burt Lauderdale. Do a quick search on your favorite media platform for Burt Alert, and you'll learn why. But I'll ask him that question, so don't worry about it. He's a man about town for sure. He's going to join us to talk holiday photography, give his tips on how to really tackle events from a photography standpoint. And he has a new beer coming out with his name on it. So we're going to learn a little bit about that new beer, who's brewing it, and where you can get it. And then speaking of technology and photos, our good friend, our resident tech expert, Martin Moore, will join us in the studio. We're going to see what Martin is watching on his favorite streaming platforms this holiday season. We're going to talk about the price tag and kind of how dynamic pricing is coming into the e-commerce world. And then I'm really excited for this. I'm going to ask both Burt and Martin together what influencers mean and how they compensate influencers and what's better, the micro influencer or the macro influencer. But as we do each and every beginning of the upswing, we are going to go to up.
Now it's time for the two up on the upswing.
Two up, two things in the business world and the community world that I'm seeing that you need to know about right now. First up is Goodwill. Yes, Goodwill is focusing on revamping its stores to attract even more shoppers and donors. Now, Goodwill holds a special place in my heart. My dad worked for Goodwill Industries most of his career. And if you really look at it, Goodwill, the largest Goodwill in the country, is southeastern Wisconsin and Chicagoland. And the retail stores in both those markets do really well and have been innovating for years. But now, you look at Goodwill, they're running really quickly on $5.5 billion of spending this past year at 3,000 stores across the country. The company is making its stores even bigger and brighter right now to kind of seize the moment that thrifting is definitely back. They added 42 stores this last year. They're getting a little bit more glamorous too, and it's making real, real impact. Brighter lit stores, little wider aisles, maybe a little bit more organized, is drawing a little bit more affluent customer, but also driving more donations. The company's efforts appear to be resonating. Sales are at a record high and up 37% from 2019. Foot traffic, and I saw this in the Wall Street Journal, that foot traffic to Goodwill and other thrift stores is growing at a faster pace than any other type of clothing store right now. And the average number of visits per Goodwill location has increased by 9.5% in the first 10 months of the year. Recent surge of bigger, brighter, and better is definitely helping Goodwill Industries. Second up, Fox Point Beer Barons. Yes, Fox Point Beer Barons. Members of the Fox Point Plan Commission this week agreed that a proposal for a brewery and tap room would revitalize this long vacant corner right on Northport Washington Road in Fox Point. They raised some concerns that they thought, all right, what if we add a brew pub here? It's going to take away parking. There's going to be too many large events. What are we going to do? Don't worry about that, Fox Point. Don't worry. Make the location dynamic and community-driven, and Fox Point Beer Barons is going to do that. Potential parking snags aside from reporting in the Milwaukee Business Journal, it didn't stop the commissioners from voting 6-0 to recommend that the Village Board approve a zoning change to transform the former North Point Service Center into a brewery and tap room. Project will be really exciting. Be 1,600 square feet in a building at 8,000 North Port Washington Road. Look for a new brewery and building, new beer, new tap room in Fox Point, the northern suburb right here in Milwaukee. Coming up next, Milwaukee photographer Eric Halverson. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. His eye, well, both of his eyes, actually, are behind some of Milwaukee's most recognizable images. His work spans portrait events and cityscapes, and you've likely seen his photos all over social media. He's Eric Halverson. You may know him, though, as Burt Lauderdale. We're going to get to that later. We're going to talk about how he sees Milwaukee through his lens, what goes into photographing the big events in and around the city, how he looks at visual storytelling, how it can lift a brand and a community. I got a lot of questions, Bert, Eric, but I first and foremost appreciate you taking time out of your day to be here with us.
No problem at all. Thanks for having me, man. This is great.
So let's take us back a little bit, Eric, if you will, to when did you first kind of realize that you saw the world a little differently through a camera, and kind of what pulled you into, all right, taking pictures is what I want to do professionally?
Technically, I mean, if I really think about it, I was thinking about the other day too. My mom would always take pictures of me and my brothers all the time. And we were always like, Mom, stop. We're good. Stop taking pictures, Mom. We didn't really get it. But I'm so grateful that it was like that because it was about the moments. I remember kind of that staying in my brain a little bit, like, oh, moments. Like, moments are what it's all about. And then as I got a little older, I started actually out with video, a little old video camera from, like, Target or something. Me and my brothers would shoot, like, mini videos and movies. My little brother would use it to make his own little movies and all this stuff. And I just always had a camera, and I think I took it for granted because I was just always – I thought it was normal. You just have this. And then I started just kind of, like, being, like, I don't want to say hoarding, but collecting a lot of videos from, like, when I first started out to, like, just capture them to have them and be like, oh, yeah, this is what it was, you know, high school. And then I made the senior grad video for my graduation class in 2008. Okay. And it took a lot of talking to the principal to be like, hey, I need to bring this video camera around. And she's like, why? Why would you want to do that? I'm like, moments. I don't know how else to explain it. We need to capture these moments because we'll never get these back type of thing. And she finally let me do it for a few months, and I carried it around and made the grad video that year. And it was the first time they allowed video in the grad video. Usually it was just like a picture thing, like, oh, here's, you know, whatever. But so that kind of amplified it a little bit more, and I just always had a camera on me all the time.
So when you're working with events or client work, like how do you choose between stills and video? And then even more so, like when you're hired by an entity – How do you put together that full story from a professional standpoint?
Yeah, the last probably 5 years have been, I would say, 90% photo.
Okay.
Which I never saw coming because I was always so entrenched in video and video editing that I never thought about anything else. So I'm really pumped that the last 5 years have been afforded those opportunities to shoot photos for different people around town. But video is mostly used. I mean, sometimes people ask for it because now everyone has a camera.
Right.
So it's a little easier for companies or whoever just to use their phone and just get content like that. So it's not too often anymore. But for like weddings, for instance, I always tell clients that like, hey, you know, in 50 years, when you look back at these photos, it's great, but like our memory isn't as good as we think it is as a human being. So I tell them the video actually shows, you know, how people sound, how they looked, how they danced. Like those are the memories that we kind of like forget, you know, in a way.
Yeah.
So I always use that to tell them, hey, photos are great, but videos are actually going to capture the real moment itself.
We're talking with Eric Halverson, Milwaukee photographer, man about town. So Eric, if somebody kind of flipped through a book of your Milwaukee images, what's the story about this city that you really hope that they take away?
I really, you know, I just from the ground up and then from the sky back down via drone stuff, it's just the people, man. Like the people are just, they're amazing. Like I've met so many amazing people over the last, I mean, I've been here all my life, but roughly the last 5 to 10 years. I was in the service industry, and then because of that, it parlayed into getting to know everyone at the bars, restaurants, and that amplified for the last like 5 years with my photography work. It's all about the people, the relationships with people, and just showing almost their point of view through the photography, if I'm able to, whether it's the events or just the day-to-day. But it always goes back to the people. The people in Milwaukee are great.
What are some of the iconic events that you've worked with and some of the best locations that have really stuck with you that like, hey, I need to go back to this spot because the vibe here is so perfect for the images?
Yeah, I got to say right off the bat, the night market is one of my favorite events to shoot throughout the last couple of years. It's the most Milwaukee, I think, festival, true Milwaukee. I mean, it's free for everybody, and it's just everyone who's anybody or anybody who lives in Milwaukee will be there. And it's always one of my favorite ones of the year. Everything from, you know, any of the standard festivals like Summerfest are always unique and fun. Third Ward has an event called Gather that I love shooting.
The large outdoor dining event that we put the table on Broadway, I think it is, and yep, you get to kind of shoot down the,
yeah, they
kind
of
the street.
They kind of move it around different areas of Third Ward. It's unique. It's very like, it's like a movie set almost. It's always fun to kind of shoot. But I love just on the go shooting too. So if there's ever a day where I'm like out and about and I get a text or an email, hey, we need photos of this. Mm-hmm. Like right now I'm working on a downtown bid project where it's, yeah, 85 different buildings that I'm shooting photos of for their website. So I'm running around like crazy.
So how do you shoot a building? Like how do you look at that from a project standpoint? Because if I'm just walking past, I'm like, all right, I'm just going to snap a photo.
Yeah.
There's a lot more that goes into the thought process.
Yeah, there's definitely. I tend to overthink too much on everything pretty much. So I overshoot because I overthink. So it's kind of a ripple effect. But a lot of things with the buildings, when it comes to that, is like you can just stand there and point up and go, but it's going to look the same. So you want to get different angles. You want to show the depth of it. You want to show the shape of it. You want to show just it's what it is. It's bones. You know, what is it? What is this building? There's so many beautiful buildings in Milwaukee. I think people walk by. I do it. I was walking, shooting photos yesterday, and being on foot helps show what these buildings are, the shape, kind of the identity of these buildings. And there's a few where I'm like, I've walked by this building, drove by so many times.
Well, we're too often walking
heads
with
down,
our head down,
right,
our head in our phones, and we're not looking up to see the gorgeous beauty of no matter what city you're in, but especially downtown Milwaukee, there's so much to see when you look up.
So much. And the old blends with the new so well. So many details in some of these buildings have been around for, you know, 70, 100 years even. The Cream City Brick, obviously. It's beautiful. It's something I'm grateful that we live in a city that has that. And I recommend if you are out and about, I know it's winter now, a little difficult, but even now it's got its own beauty. Get out there and take a walk and look up and see the beauty, see the shape, see the history of this city. It's awesome.
We're talking with Milwaukee photographer Eric Halverson. Eric, when we come back, I want to get into Burt Alerts because that's people may know you as Burt Lauderdale as well. But also, back on the photography side, you got to have some good tips for us as we're all diving into the holiday season on how we can capture that great, great shot. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined in studio by Eric Halverson, Milwaukee photographer, and much, much more. Ooh, Burt Eric, yeah. You got a beer coming out
yeah.
with your name on it. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But I want to just kind of dive back into the technical and creativity side of photography. Is there a recent shot or project that has just been like, wow, the timing is right, the light was perfect, and this is an iconic image that I need to keep near and dear to my heart?
Yeah, there's a few of those this last year especially. When it comes to timing, though, and I don't want to go get ahead of myself here with the Burt Lauderdale stuff,
yeah,
but the State Fair flood, I don't even know what to call it, once in a lifetime, hopefully once in a lifetime. It was unbelievable being in the right place at that time when the storm hit. As far as photography goes, without getting too far ahead, anything I can shoot with a beautiful sunset, that's all about timing. I've always been addicted to sunsets.
Yeah, kind of that magic hour being outside, that's always a perfect time to take a photo, right?
It's awesome. Whether I have my camera or not, I try to be out there for that. And this time of year when they happen so much earlier, I got to rewire my brain a little bit to get out there at the right time. But anything with sunsets, there's always little moments at events like weddings all the way to storm chasing or, you know, the events for the night market, or there's always these little moments, couple shots at a day or a night in those events where I'm just pumped. Like there's once in a split second moments of like someone smiling with their child or a dog jumping up. It looks like I get lost in it. I'm so excited anytime I can get lucky enough to capture those.
Being the right capturing place, the magic in the moment, that's what we all want. So what are your kind of simple tips for us novice photographers that we're at a family event, we're at another civic event in the city, especially during the holidays? How do we be more intentional with our photography?
I would say look at the shapes and lines of things sometimes. If you're in a beautiful building, or if there's like chairs set up a certain way, if you're just trying to capture a raw moment, look at the lines of things, look at the shapes. So if there's like if you're on the street and there's a curb or a street, like street paint on the street lines that you can use the lines to guide the person's eyes to the subject you want them to look at. Buildings can be used for that. It's a lot of geometry, and I wish I would have listened in high school more because I didn't do too well in that class, and now I use it all the time. I'm always looking at shapes, and a big facet of what I do.
So there's phones. Math in photography. There's always math in everything.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, math is everywhere. And again, I wish I would have listened more in school and class. But if you have a flash on your phone, try to use that more if it's at night. If you're trying to get a sunset, you can, when you use your phone, bring down the exposure on your phone to get those colors to really pop. Bring down the exposure helps a lot. So keep that in mind. And just don't be afraid. Just shoot photos. It doesn't have to be perfect. The moments are going to be there. And I'm learning something new every day. I don't know everything. I'm teaching myself as I go. So it's like, You just keep shooting. Keep shooting.
There's magic everywhere, and there are moments everywhere. Mm-hmm. There's also weather everywhere. Mm-hmm. Weather has been something that's been central to you and kind of your alter ego, Burt Lauderdale, correct? Talk to us about Burt Alerts and how that came about, and where is your passion in terms of capturing the weather moments in our community?
Yeah, I mean, I've always loved storms and in general. I've always been fascinated by weather, like I said, with sunsets alone. But with the Burt Lauderdale stuff, it was kind of like a joke 10 years ago. It's almost 10 years coming up, which is crazy to even say out loud. But I was like, I want to do my own little weather reports. You know, I like doing the graphics more than anything, the lower thirds, like the graphics were the first thing I loved about it. The content itself, I'm still kind of working on it because I'm running out of ideas all the time. But I did a thing called Whether You Like It or Not. It was kind of the basis for it. It was like a show, just like a YouTube channel. And then my buddy's like, hey, you need to come up with a name, I think. I'm like, what do you mean? It's like a TV name, like a weather reporter name. And I'm like, I was working at a pizza place at the time, and we spent the whole shift drinking espresso and trying to come up with names and riffing. And Burt Lauderdale came up, because I'm a big fan of Johnny Knoxville, so like names like that, like, you know. And Burt Lauderdale came up. He's like, I think that's it. I'm like, it just hit. I'm like, that's it. Let's do it. And I just ran with it. Basically kept going with it and putting out little videos every now and then, even if I didn't think they were the greatest, you know. Yeah. But yeah, it's just been going on for 10 years.
Consistency in content, that is a very, very good thing. And that consistency has led to your own beer out here.
Unbelievable.
And I want to ask you, expert. Mm-hmm. You got a beer coming with your name on it. What are all the details here? And tell me, where can I get it and when?
Oh, man. Yeah, this is unbelievable. The last couple months came out of the thin air. My little brother, of all people, was like, hey, why don't you have your own beer? I'm like, I wish I could have my own beer. I've always dreamed. I mean, what do you mean? He's like, Burt Lauder Ale. It's in the name. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. And I was out with some buddies after a photo shoot, and I drinking a little bit, and I put a little post out on Facebook.
A very Milwaukee thing to do, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, just a couple beers. And I put it on Facebook, just shot in the dark. And one of the first comments back was a friend of mine who went to my high school back in the day, Milwaukee School Languages, shout out, public schools.
All right.
And he's like, hey, we might have you covered. I work over at Broken Bad. I'm the head brewer. And I'm like, my goodness gracious. And so that just kind of snowballed literally the last couple months here. And I had a taste test just yesterday. It's a golden ale. It's a light beer.
Nice.
Very, very crushable is
all
what
right. Okay.
I was told. And it certainly
that's how
is.
Tim would explain it at Broken Bat.
Yeah, Tim Pauly,
yes.
Shout out.
Yes.
Yeah, Tim and Nick holding it down over there. I went over there, talked with him yesterday, and it's happening. It's real now. It's in the world.
Okay.
Coming out December 19th.
All right.
Big release party at Broken Bat. We're going to have live music from fellow Kinsmen, a local Milwaukee band. And just trying to get people there, have some beer and hang out just before the... You know, big holidays hit and everything, and we get rolling here. So it's real.
All right. Congrats. That's a great thing to add to our holiday stroll for sure. We'll be sure to pick up a six-pack or two. Stick around for a moment. I got another big photography influencer right outside the door at the studio. His name's Martin Moore, a regular guest here on The Upswing. I want to ask both of you about the power of influence and how the world of influencing is changing online. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. The influencers are in the studio. Martin Moore.
That's more his
from
speed.
Koss. Burt Lauderdale, also known as Eric Culverson, in studio. Guys, we're in the holiday season, just off of Black Friday. Everyone's talking about the power of influencers on social and the impact that they have. How's the influencer world changing? I'm going to start with you, Martin, because you're shopping, you're buying, and you're selling each and every day online.
Sure.
What do influencers mean today?
Sure. I think when we look at influencers and influencer culture and influencer marketing, it's very different now than it was 5-10 years ago. Now you're seeing a lot of micro influencers working with brands, people that have 1,000, 5,000, 10,000, usually typically under 50,000 followers, because they tend to create much more authentic content. They tend to have the sort of bandwidth to engage with their followers and subscribers and community a lot more than someone like Marques Brownlee can, or any other large YouTuber, Instagrammer, or TikToker, where they're just busy and they're just getting an influx of comments. And so micro influencers is really what we use at Koss sort of push some of our products, and it's what I sort of gravitate towards.
And then what do you use as metrics to make sure that those influencers, micro or macro,
sure,
are working?
I really don't actually care, because the content's out there. So as long as they're getting views, comments, likes, I don't really care how many or how few there are, just as long as there's content out there. And it's sort of like fishing with dynamite. You never know who's going to come across a reel or a TikTok or a thread or something like that. And so just as long as I have a ton of people, hundreds of people making content, someone's going to bite. People are going to start to see it. It's going to get in their feed, and the algorithm's going to pick it up.
Eric, does Milwaukee – do we have influencers online here, or do we just have influential people?
Oh. Now we're talking.
All right.
I think there's a little bit of influencer action going on. I think that's thrown around a lot these days. I think some people think they are, but then they just carry themselves like, maybe – they're not. I'm just going to say a lot of people aren't, but whatever. Who am I to say? I'm a fake weatherman. So everyone's got a gimmick, I've always said, which is bad and good. But a lot of influential people, though, in this city, and maybe some of them don't even think they are. So there's so many different layers to this influential onion that it's something we're going to have to hash out over the next 10 years or so.
I always say a city is only as good as the stories it tells, and we all have the responsibility to tell good stories about our city. That's what influence is all about.
It's time to fast forward. Welcome to the future of almost everything in Wisconsin on the upswing. Joining WTMJ's Jeff Sherman, here's Martin Moore.
Welcome back to the upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined in studio by Martin Moore from COS. Martin, thanks for taking time out of your day to be here with us.
It's been a while. I haven't been on in like a month or two.
I feel like I see you every day,
though.
And that's the beautiful thing about friendship,
I see you in my dreams, Jeff.
Oh, yes, yes. So we are just coming off of Black Friday, Cyber Monday, flying through the holidays. I wanted to tap into your e-commerce expertise here. What really moves products? Is it about the discount? And I need to get your kind of deep thoughts on the pricing difference that we're seeing, I think specifically this holiday.
Sure.
Cyber Monday, Black Friday. Like, what is with pricing and what really moves the consumer to buy?
I mean, pricing is obviously, especially during like something like Black Friday or Cyber Monday, pricing is the big one. And you're seeing, you saw a lot of people this season use AI to try and find the best deals on not just holistically, but like on particular products, using AI to find the pair of sunglasses that they really want. That was, where is this the cheapest? Where is this pair of headphones? Yeah. Where can I get this the cheapest? This iPad, this whatever. So price is definitely the big thing. But you know, you always, as a brand, you have to have something people want.
Right.
And if they don't want it, you have to get real creative and make them think that they need it and think that they need it right now because they're saving a ton of money on it.
Where do you see dynamic pricing going from a product standpoint? And like, one of my big predictions for next year is going to be that the price tag is dead. And yes, there's going to be standard pricing for things that are always going to be maybe at the grocery store. But I really feel like we're moving into this space where, based upon what we have, maybe a credit card, rewards program, loyalty to a brand, we may get a different price based upon that influence, if you will.
Oh, absolutely. You're seeing we've already seen dynamic pricing. You see it with like airline tickets, you see it with train tickets. But in the consumer sector, it's definitely newer.
Yeah.
But one thing that AI is doing now and that is helping businesses is looking at when people buy things. I have data to know like to the dollar when a certain product, a headphone, is going to sell, and when I go over that by one penny when we don't sell it anymore. And so having AI look at your product catalog, look at all your sales history, and it can dynamically fluctuate the price based on when people typically get paid, when there's holidays. There's some statistic where like there's a majority of people's birthdays at certain parts of the years, like October and May and stuff like that. And so people buy birthday presents. And so looking at all that data, aggregating it, and then having a fluctuating price so that when people are more susceptible to be online on Amazon or your website, you have the best price to pull them in and get the sale.
Yeah, so we're getting to a point, I think, where there are different price points for different types of consumers at different times. I mean, we're already seeing it from Amazon and Whole Foods. If I go to Whole Foods and I use my Amazon Prime account, I get 10% off.
Right.
That's different than maybe the person behind me. So people think this is like, oh, you can't charge this or that.
Sure.
But it's coming, and I think we all have to be prepared for it, especially on the product side. All right. So a couple days ago this week, I'm going through my Apple News Plus. Big fan of Fast Company. I keep scrolling. Second, third story, actually, I see. The classic headphone upgrade you should know about. And it's a story about costs.
You betcha.
Now, when these type of things happen, do you see the sales needle move right away? And are you monitoring that?
Yeah, you see it immediately.
Yeah.
And you can we get the data every single day. I mean, I can see it in real time.
Okay.
And if there's an article, if Rolling Stone or Fast Company or The Verge or whoever does an article about a particular product, I can go on Amazon, I can go on Shopify, and I can see an influx of sales for that product. So those things, they help. It's the same thing if like an influencer posts something. You know, we have someone that posts a big YouTube video or something like that. I can see a direct correlation to the sales when those things come out. And so it's really cool, especially when they're authentic. Most of those articles you come across are paid for. There'll be a link in there. It's an Amazon affiliate link.
Sponsored content.
Exactly.
They call it
the biz,
right?
This one was authentic. This was just someone at Fast Company that loved our product and loved the new wireless iteration of it and was like, I'm going to write an article. And it means a lot that they do that.
Well, thus the 2025 word of the year from Cambridge Dictionary.
Oof.
Have you heard what it is?
Yes.
Parasocial.
Yep.
And parasocial.
And I've experienced it.
Yeah. It is that feeling or that sense that you get when your favorite social media friend becomes your friend because you bumped into each other and you feel like, ooh, I know a whole lot more about you because I see you on social every day. It's got to be that same thing for a brand, right? Parasocial.
Oh, for sure.
Is not only you and me bumping into each other, it's us bumping into brands.
Exactly. And I mean, if you bump into me, you bump into Call.
That's
but right. It was, when that was the word, it was funny because when I used to vlog every day in Milwaukee, people would come up to me all the time because, hey, I watch your YouTube videos, blah, 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 blah. And they know everything about me. And it's like, I don't know who you are. Like, slow down, champ. So it was a really interesting word. And I'm surprised it took that long to become the word of the year.
It speaks to our creator culture.
Sure.
Very much so, right? But I sense, and Bert, you and I earlier were talking about the power of influence. But in a market our size, it is those who are influential, I believe, that are being really authentic online. And there is that kind of life work sync that is real that happens online and offline. And it magnifies things in a good way for everyone. And I think that's what we should all do is look to amplify the good and be our real selves no matter where we're playing.
That's what I love about this city and people like you and Eric and just all the creators and stuff and the people in the city who are on the radio and TV and Charlie Burns and comedy and people on YouTube and TikTok. Everyone's very authentic. No one's fake. I've never met anybody who I followed them on social media or listened to a radio show or saw them on TV and met them in real life. And I was like, oh, boy, you're different. Like, I'm very appreciative that I live in a city where all the creators in here are influential people and not influencers, like you said.
Very good. When we come back, I need three tech products that are on your holiday list and why and how they're going to make our lives better this season. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined by Martin Moore from COS. Martin, we're heading into the big holiday season. We're in the middle of the big holiday season. Everyone making their gift lists. What are three tech products that actually make your everyday life better, and why should they be on my list this season?
All right. One that I recently got was my Apple HomeKit door lock. Or you can get like a Google one. Ones where you like with the number pad or you just like say to your watch to unlock the back door to your house or apartment.
Okay.
Game changer. Oh. I don't have a car key. I don't have a house key. Nothing. They're not expensive. You can get them for like $150, $200.
Okay.
Super secure.
And then it's just a scan on your phone to get in? How does it work?
Like if you ever had an Airbnb where you plug in the code. Or you can unlock it with your phone. You can hold your watch up to it.
Okay.
No key needed.
All right. Convenience. That's
absolute
good.
Game changer.
That definitely makes your life easier. All right. That's one. Two.
This time of year, I'm going to say my Xbox because nothing helps me deal with seasonal depression and check out of social media and the stresses of the world like just ensconcing myself in video games and getting lost. I don't doom scroll. I don't get stressed out about news or anything that's going on or work. I can just escape, play Ark Raiders or whatever it is that I'm playing and just get lost.
That's
and then
good.
I would say probably this time of year, my Apple Watch. I mean, I'm always working out and going to the gym and biking and hiking throughout the year. But this time of year with the holidays and not being able to be as active outdoors because, you know, we live in Milwaukee. Apple Watch really, I rely on it all day to make sure I'm getting my steps in, to make sure I'm doing my workouts in the morning, and to make sure that I don't pack on too many pounds between now and March.
If it's getting close to the end of the day and you haven't reached that step count, are you like walking around?
I walk around
the
warehouse
living room
like a crazy person.
I do the same thing.
Yes,
my wife just looks at me like, "Why are you doing this?" I'm like, "I have to."
But you run in the winter too.
I
see your Instagram posts.
Yeah, I do, but like after recent snowfalls and when it's really cold, I'm fearful of the ice. So I'll find a track outside and still keep
running.
You ever
run the Pettit?
I have. Okay. I love running inside of the Pettit. Yeah. It's climate controlled. It's like 52, 55 degrees.
That works.
You feel very Olympian in there too. So I feel like I'm faster than I'm
still
actually
an Olympian, like lapsing five times.
Well, that, and if you look at my tech products, my Whoop band is definitely one of them because it monitors my health. I think it makes me more aware of what I'm doing. I don't get manic about it, but I really appreciate the data it delivers. Then at night, I've used this forever. There's a lot of white noise machines out there to sleep, but I have this thing called Snooze that's a little mini fan that sounds like a fan, but it's just a sleep machine that
Send me a link.
White noise. I will.
I'm always
it's
on the
really
hunt
simple.
For a better white noise
It's
app.
Really easy because, you know, I don't sleep with my phone in the room.
Yeah.
And I don't want to have a white noise machine on the phone because then you're always getting interrupted with notifications
or
whatever. So this Snooze machine is amazing. And then I would say the third one is kind of along the lines of your Apple Watches. I like my iPad. I really do. I read on my iPad. I find that I can keep the apps closed that I don't want. And I can use it as a second TV, if you will, and also a reader, and it works really well. It's just a beautiful product.
That's a nice little list. Yeah. Ours are very similar.
Yes, I like it. All right. We'll have some downtime maybe at the end of the month here to watch some shows. I always like to get your input, Martin, on, hey, what are you watching right now and why?
Right now, well, I just finished the morning show, but one show that...
The latest season?
Yes.
Okay.
Just finished it.
All right. Okay.
But one show that has gone, flown under the radar, if you have Apple TV, is Your Friends and Neighbors with John Hamm. And it's kind of interesting with everything that's been going on with Mequon, with some of these South American gangs breaking houses. But John Hamm is this like super rich millionaire, and he loses his job. And because he lives in like these affluent communities, he knows none of his rich neighbors leave their doors unlocked. He knows everything about them. And so he basically breaks into all his friends' house, steals their stuff. I won't spoil it for you, but it is outstanding.
All right. Yeah. Apple TV. It's not Apple TV.
It's Apple TV.
It's just Apple
now
TV
just
straight up.
Apple
they
TV.
Dropped the plus, right? But the content there is all great. I mean, they do a really, really good job. I went to Netflix recently a little bit more than I usually do.
I haven't played there in a while.
Over Thanksgiving, I just had some extra time. There's a show with Ted Danson called A Man on the Inside, where he's a retired professor.
Heard of this.
And he's hired as a PI and kind of has to go into different scenarios. Really well done, really thoughtful, inspirational, and an easy watch. So put that on the list. And then way on the flip side, there's a new Claire Danes show that she stars in from the team that made that series called The Homeland. It's called The Beast in Me. Really well done, really timely because she is interviewing a billionaire. So you kind of have some timely themes around, you know, the wonderment of billionaires. The first episode was pretty impactful. I think I'll keep it on. But it's pretty entertaining stuff.
Okay.
All right.
I have one more.
Okay. The final holiday recommendation.
Gilded Age on HBO Max.
Okay.
If you like Downton Abbey, you'll like this. Period piece, bunch of just rich aristocrats and all their social life drama. It is very good. Season 2 just came out.
There you go. Our holiday recommendations, TV and more. Martin Moore, always appreciate your time. Happy holidays. We'll see you again soon.